Blog Talk Radio.
WPR Rebuttal is on the air. Welcome to WPR Rebuttal, covering the sides of the story missed by Wisconsin Public Radio, bringing the narratives the UW System Board of Regents won't allow, and shedding light on perspectives the owners of WPR don't want you to hear. I'm your host, Senator JPO. We have a very special episode today, an exclusive bombshell interview with Joseph Oler Jr., the curator of the Paul Veltum fan site. And we're going to have him on in a brief moment. But first, I just want to say our call-in number, if anyone wants to get on the air and ask Mr. Oler or myself a question, our number is 929-477-3965. And I just want to say that right at the beginning so that you can write it down, because first we're going to have a straightforward Q&A of pre-arranged questions that I sent to Mr. Oler. And then following that, we're going to have maybe between 5 and 10 minutes towards the end of the show. And during that period, we'll accept questions from the callers. So again, you can write down this number, but we won't actually accept the calls until after the prearranged portion of the interview. So again, that's 929-477-3965. Okay, without further ado, Mr. Oler calling in on a conference line here. Okay, here he comes. Mr. Oler, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Senator JPO?
Great, great. Well, hey, I sent this to you in advance, so I know that you've had the time to articulate your responses, and we know that there's a lot of curiosity about the fan site that you've run and just how it began. I guess we'll start from the beginning. I mean, did you ever meet Ms. Veltum?
Yes.
And how did you meet Paula Veltum? Well, it began during an October 2013 interview. Actually a panel interview for Wisconsin DSPS, Department of Safety and Professional Services. And I was interviewing for program and policy analyst, and I thought I did okay at the interview, but I was not offered a job. And I don't want to go too deeply into how most of the job interviews I go to, I'm not offered a job. But in this particular instance, I was able to make a connection with Paula, because when we were shaking hands before and after the interview, I noticed there was a special connection. For some reason, Paula took a liking to me, and she would show this liking of me later on. And I have evidence of it from how she was receptive to my follow-up calls and how she later added me on LinkedIn. And she proposed getting together for a business lunch. Wow, that's fascinating. And she went and was going along with me in terms of wanting to meet in Madison on her lunch break. And then they're just excuses, though, when I finally had a chance, when I finally had my reliable transportation, I had a job where I can afford a decent car to go down there. Then she was giving all these excuses as to why she could no longer go, but she never outright said no. I mean, Paula Veltum struggles with being assertive. Well, you don't say. I mean, how else does Paula Veltum struggle in lack of assertion skill? I mean, lack of assertiveness, rather. I mean, how else would you say that? Well, professionally, you know that she's overworked, because she was telling me over the phone, but also via LinkedIn message, she was telling me that she has almost no personal time, and to schedule something like a lunch break would require like a 3-week lead period. I mean, 3 weeks just to get together for half an hour. I mean, how crazy is that? I mean, most people, you would contact them like 3 days in advance, and they'll be all right, and they can clear out their schedule, and you sit on their spare time to meet with you. But, I mean, Paul Veltum, I mean, sheesh. I know that Veltum is like one of the higher-ranking bureaucrats, and I'll get into this later about how being a high-ranking bureaucrat diminishes your right to privacy, and that's why I can make a fan site and get away with it, because, I mean, there's a lot of public information pertaining to Paul, and it's public, and it's not like compiling the information is a crime. It's not. It's not even a civil tort. And
getting back to how I met Paula, I mean, just like about a week after my panel interview for this program and policy vacancy within Safety and Professional Services, then she was actually speaking with me, and she's like, hey, you want to get together, and I can give you some pointers on how you did at the interview and what you can improve. And I'm like, this is a gold mine here. That's what I'm always looking for. I'm always looking for feedback from my panel interviewers, from my one-on-one interviewers, any type of constructive criticism I can get, because most of these job interviewers, okay, they don't want to share anything. They're tight-lipped, okay? They're afraid of speaking their mind. I agree. That's been my experience as well many times. But okay, so you met Paul via a failed interview for Program and Policy Analyst, and how did that blossom into a fan site? Well, you have to understand that the fan site came years later. I actually did not do a fan site at all until January 2017, and right now it's March 2018. And actually, the fan site was dormant for most of 2017, because back when I was still trying to arrange this interview with Paula, this meeting, this lunch break, so to speak, now I decided to create a fan site to just let her know how valuable I thought our working relationship was, even though in hindsight it wasn't much of a working relationship. But she kept on feeding me just enough constructive affirmation where I felt it was okay to just go and try to press for that lunch break and that sit-down interview with her and whatnot. And it just got to the point where the fan site was like a parody of the relationship that we had going on, where she kept on tossing out these little tidbits or these minuscule rewards now and then. Like, she added me on LinkedIn in January 2015, and that was a good, 14 months after our interview. So she's spreading out these rewards. I mean, in psychology, they call it, contingent or intermittent reward schedule. That's exactly what it is, where just randomly she'll reward me with some type of, I guess, concession, and it'll be like a hit of dopamine and oxytocin and, you know, getting into neurochemistry of it. So essentially, I guess you could say that she was trying to manipulate me for her own entertainment, so I created a fan site to manipulate her for my entertainment. You see how that goes? Yeah, definitely. I see how it goes, but okay, so what's the point of a fan site? I mean, are you hoping to make money or what? Because it sounds like your relationship with Paula kind of fell through and what's going on. Well, yeah, the fan site is just one of those things where it was a way of me turning the tables on Paula, because, again, I realized that she was manipulating me with these intermittent rewards and whatnot. And I'm just like, you know, Paula, I am just going to go and turn our dynamic on its head here, and I'm going to be the one who has more control here. I'm not going to ask you for the lunch break anymore, but I'm going to make it so that you feel like you have to ask me or whatnot. And so, yeah, essentially, after I launched the Paula Beltham fan site in January 2017, Paula called me from her own personal cell phone and politely requested I take it down, because apparently it was making her coworkers wonder about this and that. She was really vague. She didn't go into it, but at any rate, so because at that time I still had some type of positive relationship with Paula, I just said, okay, I'm just going to take it offline, or I just removed the content. All I did is I put up a placeholder page, and then the registrar's GoDaddy, and it put a domain parking page with some ads for their hosting services and whatnot. And I mean, I didn't pay for hosting. I just paid for the web domain itself, because, you know, a fan site, it doesn't make any money. You don't want to spend too much. And it's just one of those things. Well, I will say this, Mr. Oler, that you and your fan site have given me a ratings bump. So, I mean, I haven't made any money for a ratings bump either, but it is really, really been funny to see dozens more people tuning in every time I talk about Paula Beltham. Well, I'm glad I helped someone. I mean, I don't consider myself the most magnanimous person, but if I can help another independent artist grow his fan base, then all the better. Okay, so the reason why I reinstated the Paula Beltham fan site in February 2018 is because, yeah, I mean, I had a falling out with Paula when I
sent her a LinkedIn message. And I'm just like, hey, it looks like that you're logged in right now, because, you know, every time you keep yourself logged in. If you stay logged in on LinkedIn, you can close the browser, but the session cookie will say you're still logged in. So there was like this green icon next to Paul, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe she's not actually there at the moment, but LinkedIn says she's logged in. So I began a message, okay, Paul, I see you're still logged in to LinkedIn, and I just want to take the opportunity to say I finally have this three-week advance notice here where I'm going to do a walk-in interview for CNA training. Now, I never ended up going to CNA training walk-in interview. I have another one of those scheduled for March 11th, and that's through Wisconsin Department of Health Service. But the bottom line, Senator JPO, the takeaway from all this is that I had wanted to go and consolidate my 3 weeks out CNA interview with a lunch break with Paul Veltum. And the fact is that when Paul Veltum sent me the so-called urgent request, which I can read on the air here because I've assembled my notes here, but the bottom line is that after that, I just had no incentive. I had no emotional commitment to respecting Paul's wishes after that point. When she said that the very thing that she was using to go and bait me and lead me on, and she was no longer offering that, well, I was no longer going to respect the feelings of Paul Veltum. I was going to do what I want to do, and if she had a problem with that, then I would simply reference my legal standing in the matter. Wow, okay, so, I mean, I'm not asking you to read anything out loud. That'd be considered confidential, but, you know, I am just interested in the gist of what she wrote you. Well, okay, so here's just a summary here, and that is she thought that I was threatening her with my offer to reopen a fan site. And the funny thing is, legally speaking, that is not a threat at all. I was just saying, well, hey, I have a legal right to go and reopen this fan site, which I, as a show of respect at the time, as a favor to Paula, I had kept the fan site offline. But now that Paul is no longer doing me any good, I am no longer doing Paul the favor of keeping the fan site offline. I am putting the fan site back online, reinstating it, if you will, because Paul is no longer offering me anything. And that's where we are now. But a few weeks ago, I had to restore it because you know what happened a few weeks ago? Yeah, I know. Okay, so it was hacked, right? The Paul Veltum fan site was hacked? I mean, by who and how did you restore the website after it was hacked? Well, yes, it was hacked by Anonymous. I made some screen captures I put in my imager gallery, but I'm not sure exactly when it was hacked. I just know that after many, many months, when I visited that website, paulveltum.com, okay, I saw that it had a security certificate that I had never set. I had never, ever put a security certificate on the Paul Veltum fan site. So I'm wondering, okay, what's going on? Is this the new feature of GoDaddy? I don't think so, because most of the time you have to pay for a security certificate, and I never paid for anything like that. So I make a temporary exception. Don't make a permanent exception for a strange security certificate, because that sets you up for all types of breaches. But I made a temporary exception for that one browsing session, and boom, there, immediately loaded this loading page, this landing page that said hacked by Anonymous, Eureka. And spelling of Eureka is Y-H-U-R-I-C-K-A. And apparently it's like one of the members of the hack group Anonymous, but I restored it by just redirecting the name server. I had to point the name server from the GoDaddy part page, which GoDaddy was hacked. I was actually never hacked. It was GoDaddy who was hacked. So I redirected the name server from within GoDaddy, pointed to 000 web host, which, again, 000, it's a cheap, no-frills web hosting, and they say they're only supposed to be for educational purposes, but I'm using it for the sites in which I'll never make any money. And unfortunately, they really changed a lot, and they offer like you two free websites now. I mean, a few years ago, I was doing like over a dozen free websites, and then in May 2017, they changed everything. And I did a blog post about this too. In early February, I did a blog post in my namesake blog, joelorjr.wordpress.com.
visit and read all about me and my adventures. And I did one about Triple Zero Web Host being a lead page, a customer capture upsell mechanism for the Hostinger web service. And needless to say, I'm not going to use Hostinger. It's rotten. I mean, Triple Zero Web Host sucks so badly. I mean, why would I ever use Hostinger, right? Because I feel scammed and ripped off much as I do with my expensive, time-intensive UW system degrees. Oh, by the way, I still have my petition going. May as well plug it because I'm on your show, and that is, how are my school's college graduates doing? Google that, and I'll take you to the petition I have at change.org. We need the UW system to be monitoring and disclosing the occupational outcomes of its recent graduates. I agree, Senator J. Bill. In fact, I mean, I would sign it myself. It's just that, I mean, change.org and there are all these other websites. Well, it's just one of those things where you don't want to create a petition account, then it doesn't really matter because the Board of Regents are paying attention anyway. The Board of Regents have implemented many changes, especially UW System President Ray Cross. I mean, he's the man because he's paid attention to my complaints. He's taking drastic action. That's why we see so many degree programs closing. That's great, Senator JPO. How about we get back to the topic of Paul Veltman fan site? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of the things, okay, Senator JPO, one of the things I'm really gung-ho about is school work reform. So I know I'm on your show, but daggone, I'm going to talk about school work reform and higher education outcomes and all this other stuff because it is near and dear to me, and you asked me to be on your show. I'm doing you a favor of being on your show, so I am going to talk about schoolwork scam when I want to. All right, fine. I respect that. Please don't hang up, Mr. Roller. Please stay on our show. I know that it's not easy to get you onto a radio show like this. Yes, internet radio show, but it's still a radio show. I get you, Senator JPO. Okay, so are there any other questions here about the Paul Veltman fan site? Well, I suppose, I mean, is Veltman threatening you with legal action over the site? Not directly. I mean, she said that she would pursue all the legal avenues that she has, but she hasn't. And it's been over a month since she said that. And you know what? I think that, not to disparage Paul Veltman on the air, but I'm pretty sure that she was just blowing hot air. And Veltman's been known to do that. I mean, when her back is against the wall, she might not ever say no, but she might go and, I guess, misprognosticate. That's a good word. Is misprognosticate plans that she never intends to execute. Just like with the lunch break with me, instead of outright saying no, she made up this bogus plan that someday we'd get together and meet, do a debriefing about how my interview went. I mean, now, as of this autumn, it's going to be 5 years ago. So you know how she drags her feet on these things. And with the whole legal action, she probably will never do it, probably never will make good on her word. I mean, she never promised to take legal action, but she, the way she phrased it in her so-called urgent request email to me was just like she'd rather I not do it, and she tried to get legal remedy, but, of course, there's no guarantee that there exists a legal remedy because, okay, here's the legal underpinnings of why I'm justified in doing my fan site. So I'm just going to go over my information here, and I have the statutory grounding for doing an unauthorized fan site. It's essentially the same way that people can do unauthorized biographies of people and not get sued. Well, same thing. I mean, if Paul Veltman fan site, it's not quite a biography, so to speak, but it is unauthorized compilation of factual information about Paul Veltman. Okay, so here is my legal justification here. So, Wisconsin Statute 16.004, subsection 5. Agencies, employees, and authorities created under subchapter 2 of chapter 114, under chapters 2, 3, 1, et cetera, up through 279, and their officers and their employees shall cooperate with the secretary of the respective agency, and shall comply with every request of the secretary during his or her functions. Okay, so we know what this means. If the Department of Administration secretary told Paul Veltman, who works in DOA right now. She no longer works in DISPIS, but she works in the Department of Administration. Okay, so Department of Administration Secretary, told Paul Veltman to just let this Perry website slide. then she would have to do it because essentially, I mean, being a high-ranking bureaucrat, you're dealing with the public, and you don't want to create a firestorm over something like this because then it could jeopardize the public's faith in your ability to do a job if you get all publicly flustered about an unauthorized fan site. I mean, just let it go, right? It speaks better for you as a person if you just roll the punches in this case instead of be like try to be authoritarian. Otherwise, people are comparing you to some of the other leaders we have in office, which I won't name them because I actually support some of them. But the bottom line is that I have this in my notes, and it's probably something extra. But, yeah, essentially it's like if Paul Bell's boss tells her to just let it go, then she would have to let it go anyway. But let's say the Trump administration were to get behind Paul Veltman and be like, yeah, if you want to go and try to take down the fan site, then we ain't going to stop you. Okay, so that's where I go to Wisconsin Statute 16.61, subsection 2B, which defines public records. Public records means all books, papers, maps, photographs, films, recordings, optical discs, electronically formatted documents, or other documentary materials, regardless of physical form or characteristics, made or received by any state agency or its officers, and it goes on, so I have an ellipsis to end that quotation, but here's what it means. Unless expressly qualified, every document produced by a state of Wisconsin is a public record. So if there's like a DISPIS or a DOA document that mentions Paul Veltman, it's a public record. I can put it up there, and no one can yank it because, hey, I mean, public records can be freely distributed unmodified, and I have not modified any of the documents that I have on the Paul Veltman fan site. Wow, that's fascinating. So, Mr. Oler, I just want to say, I mean, what types of public records do you put on the Paul Veltman fan site? Well, Senator JPO, one of the things I put on the Paul Veltman fan site is just anything that documents like the duties of Paul Veltman and just kind of like executive summary. And just kind of like a time capsule, some snapshots of her career at various phases from when she became a public official. I mean, needless to say, because my emphasis is when she was in the state agency as an inspector, and then she advanced to being a section chief of technical services and DSPS, and then she became a bureau administrator of buildings and facilities management within the Department of Administration. So most of the stuff is within the last 7 years or so, and I really don't have any information from when she was in college or earlier. I do know that she graduated from Wilmot High School in 1999, but that's something I just found on a My Life page. And again, all the information is public, and I don't have anything public like, oh, who's Paul Veltman dating? I don't have that information, okay, because the Paul Veltman fan site is oriented upon the public record side of Paul Veltman, and that is almost exclusively pertaining to her professional work. Oh, okay, so you don't have, like, Paul Veltman bikini pics or anything. No, nothing like that. I don't have any personal images of Paul Veltman, I mean, beyond the one LinkedIn photo that she put up, but it's really nothing that you could you could spend private time with. I mean, but I will say this, Paul Veltman does kind of look like a male version of Jared Kushner. Oh, really? How did you come to that conclusion? Well, because of the Reuters news website, it had a lot of different pictures of Jared Kushner. I'm like, wow, okay, from those angles, Jared kind of looks like Paula, so kind of like, maybe they have a similar genotype, but that's mere speculation at this point. Because, but yeah, they do look highly similar, Jared Kushner and Paul Veltman. And in terms of the other information, yeah, I mean, I mentioned I have Paul Veltman's cell phone or email address, but come on, I'm not sharing that because that's private information. I mean, if Paul Veltman were to actually sue me, yeah, I could put the information out there, but there's really no need because Paul Veltman is not going to sue me because I have the legal grounding, and Paul Veltman has been known to say that she'll do things that she won't do, such as meet with you in person over lunch. So again, I mean, it's kind of like, just blown off steam, and she just felt powerless over the situation. But the whole thing is that, I mean, yeah, I could close down the fan site too if she made me a nice offer. I mean, again, that's not blackmailing. I mean, it could be like bribery, but it's lawful bribery. If she's like, oh, Mr. Oler, I don't want you doing the fan site anymore. Give me, or no, I'll give you I'll give you $5,000 for you to close the website. And I could try to sell the domain, but no one's buying. You know what? If Paul Velton wants to buy the domain, if Paul wants to buy the domain, paulvelton.com, I will sell it to her for $5,000. $5,000 at the bare minimum. I mean, if she wants to offer more than that, sweeten the deal and just make sure I put it behind us forever, and that's great. But, yeah, $5,000 is the minimum walk away, because essentially if you were to sue, I mean, that would be like in the ballpark of what you might be able to gain from it, I guess. So that's how I came up with my $5,000 remark, because she isn't going to be able to buy it from anyone else because I'm the only one who owns it. I'm the only stakeholder in paulvelton.com. So she has to pay up or else the website's going to be up there indefinitely. And that's not a threat. That's not blackmail. That's just doing business. I mean, I got to the market first by buying that domain name, and she won't be the only Paul Velton on earth. I mean, someone could change his or her name to Paul Velton. Really, like, okay, so how much? I mean, how much would you pay someone to change his or her name to Paul Velton? Well, I wouldn't pay anything because it doesn't matter. I mean, there's a Paul Velton that works for the state agency, but, you know, it's not important to me. I mean, I don't care how many Paul Velton people there are with that name. I just wanted to go and utilize this. It's kind of like an experiment in what I can get in terms of, like, exposure for myself as well. Because, obviously, you have me on there as the curator of Paul Velton fan site, but this is raising my profile as well. Well, yeah, Mr. Oler, speaking of which, we actually are going to have some callers now. If you want to call in, it's 929-477-3965. We've not seen anyone on a switchboard, though. I mean, we have a lot of listeners, but maybe no one wants to put themselves out here on air because they're afraid of being sued. No, don't be afraid of being sued. I mean, WPR rebuttal, I mean, we don't have any liability insurance, but we are not afraid to go and have anyone on air. So 929-477-3965. And, okay, so this Blog Talk Radio thing, it's giving me this automated message that I only have, like, 2 minutes remaining. I mean, come on the dashboard it says that we have 3.5 minutes remaining, but on the actual time that we've been on here, it's just been like 28 minutes here. So we should have like at least another two, even though the dashboard gives more than that. Dashboard says we have like 3.25 minutes. So Senator JPO is signing off from WPR rebuttal. We had Mr. Joseph Oler Jr. here, the curator of the Paul Velton fan site, and we don't have any callers in, and that's why we're just going to end this episode here so I can wrap it up and get into other business here that I have, because you know, we all have different things going on. Another big thank you to Mr. Oler for giving us our time here. He answered all these great questions with tremendous aplomb, and it makes me excited to see what he does next with the Paul Velton fan site. Oh, and if you want to reach Mr. Oler, go and read his blog. It's at joeolerjr.wordpress.com. Again, that's Joe Oler Jr., one word, .wordpress.com. You can follow him there and get the latest insight. Okay, well, Senator JPO is signing off. Thanks for listening, and tune in again for another WPR rebuttal.